Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Q3 Trading Update conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation by the CEO, Mr. Mats Berglund, and the CFO, Mr. Andrew Broomhead, followed by a question and answer session. At which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star one on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Monday, 5th of October, 2015. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Mats Berglund. Thank you, sir. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, and thanks for joining this third quarter trading update. We generated Handysize rates of $8,350 per day during the third quarter, 39% above the index rates, and we generated Handymax daily earnings averaging $9,630 per day, 15% above market rates. These third quarter rates were the highest quarter year to date, marginally higher than the first six months. But rates have been weakening since early September. I will, by the way, speak to some slides, so if you have them in front of you, we're on slide number two. We are continuing to focus on our cost reduction program, which we are on track on. I will revert to that a bit later. We're currently operating 215 dry bulk ships on the water, and we are repeating our guidance that we are managing our business for a continued weak market in the medium term, focused on safeguarding our positive EBITDA generation and cash position. Our towage results remain marginally profitable year to date, and that includes some post-completion adjustments on both the Harbor sale and the OMSA sale. Our Ro-Ro exit is complete after the final sixth Ro-Ro delivered to Grimaldi in August, generating cash proceeds of about $31 million. On the finance side, we bought back and canceled an additional $27 million of our 2016 convertible bonds, and year to date, we have now bought back $55 million of that convertible, reason being simply to save some interest rates, since we pretty much know it will be repaid. Turning to slide three, we continue to benefit from our strong business model, and that is what generates the premium over market rates. Year to date on our Handysizes, we are about $2,700 per day above the index rates. We are in a very weak market period, with index rates only averaging $5,300 per day year to date, while we have been making slightly above $8,000 per day. And this is thanks to our business model, primarily due to our high laden percentage, which in turn is made possible through our staff, our large fleet of substitutable ships, and our cargo contracts in both directions, you know, making the laden percentage very high, and that's what generates the premium. Turning to slide four, our forward cover on our Handysizes for the rest of the year, for the fourth quarter, we have 59% covered at about $8,800 per day. And on the Handymax side, we have 79% of the remaining days of the year covered at $8,400. For 2016, we have about 20% covered, which is about the same cover as we had last year, percentage-wise. On a dollar per day basis, we are $10,000 per day, roughly, on the Handysize, and about $10,500 a day on the Handymaxes. Turning to slide five, the spot market rates showed a fairly strong or relatively stronger third quarter than earlier in the year, as I mentioned. This was driven by a fairly strong South American grain season driving up the rates in the Atlantic. Pacific rates have been much, much weaker. Rates have been reducing since early September as the South American grain season has tapered off. Spot rates right now are about $6,800 per day for our Supramaxes and about $5,300 per day on the handy sizes. We're kind of in between the South American grain season and the North American grain season that has just started off now, but has yet not had any positive effect on the market. Slide 6, vessel values are at all-time low levels. That goes for both new buildings and second-hand. Second-hand values have been fairly flat in recent months. New building prices is not really moving anywhere either right now, and we have a hard time seeing them go lower. The gap between second-hand prices and new building prices is at record high, so anybody buying ships today should buy second-hand. Doesn't make sense to buy new buildings since the second-hand ships are so low. Slide 7, what has caused this weak rate situation that we have right now is a demand reduction starting in the second half of 2014. It's primarily the big coal reduction, significantly reduced coal imports to China that has caused the negative demand developments. Most people believed that demand would slow down, but not at all as much as has actually happened. Supply has developed as expected, or actually supply has been weaker than expected. It's the demand side that has taken most people by surprise. Slide 8, the weak market rates is leading to actions on the supply side. New vessel ordering is down significantly. Scrapping is up. You can see on slide 8 that year-to-date scrapping is much higher than the full year of 14, and we still have 3 months to go. Scrapping did reduce a bit in the third quarter due to rates, primarily Capesize rates, being higher. A lot of Chinese shipyards are closing down. Deliveries are slipping. Orders are canceled. Dry bulk orders are converted to tankers, etc. And the fleet growth is reducing. We do expect the net fleet growth for this full year to end up roughly at 10th, possibly at 3%. It depends on what rates will do during the fourth quarter, which will affect scrapping. But if you go back a year ago, most people expected a net fleet growth of 2015 of about 5%, and we're now down to about 2.5%. So there is a reaction. We call it self-correcting factors. When rates turn really weak, things happen on the supply side, and things will eventually get tighter again. What about demand? Look at slide 9. We have reasons to believe that the second half of this year will be better than the first half this year. It's all relative, though. But as you can see from the slide, Chinese imports have turned to year-on-year increases since March this year. We're not we're back into growth as regards minor bulks on a year-on-year month-by-month basis. We're not back up to the 2013 levels, as you can see here, but we are above 2014 levels since March this year, which is positive. Bauxite is increasing again. A lot of bauxite have come out of Malaysia recently. So the Indonesian ban continues, but the bauxite is now coming from Australia and Malaysia, and we're back into increasing year-on-year numbers. Soybeans is up, grains is up, to all-time high levels, grain imports to China very strong so far this year. Logs is down and nickel is down, but overall minor bulks is up since March, as mentioned. Chinese steel exports is also increasing, and that's why you have seen our Handymax fleet grow. If you study our fleet list, you will see that our Handymax fleet has grown recently, and that is due to short-term opportunistically taking in Handymax ships, and a lot against this growing Chinese steel exports, locking in a positive margin by combining a cargo and a ship or parceling, and contributing to our results even in this weak market. Slide 10, I will hand over to Andrew Broomhead, our CFO, and ask Andrew to please recap our balance sheet and cash position, and I will revert shortly. Andrew.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. So just to cover a little bit on the financial position, the balance sheet at the end of June, to remind you that our net cash position, or net borrowings position, stood at $538 million, net of the cash of $392 million. Our gearing stood at 34% at June, which was an improvement from the position of 40% at the end of last year. That was due to the monetization of some of the towage assets, which we had sold at the end of last year. The cash generation position of the company in the first half of the year, despite being the worst dry bulk market in 30 years, remained strong. We had generated $59 million of operating cash flow in the first half of the year. In terms of our overall borrowings and our CapEx, there have been no changes to our CapEx, no further commitments made. However, we have purchased in the market some of the outstanding convertible bond, which is maturing in April of next year. So we had purchased in total around $27 million worth, and that's in addition to about $27 million which we had purchased in the first half of the year. So our 2016 outstanding convertible bond is now at $155 million face value. Turning to costs, which we have presented and we have presented at the interim, the first half 2015 daily vessel operating costs. It is worth pointing out that with the market improvement in the third quarter, that our index chartered in vessels should be expected to have an associated increase in their cost. We have had a period where that index had been reducing and therefore bringing down that element of our chartered in cost. I would also point out that the cost reductions that we have been focused on, that position continues. Our direct overheads on a daily basis for our vessels stood at $660 per day at the interim. And that's our pass back to you to talk a bit more on our dry bulk focus.
So slide 14, just to repeat that we are happy with the transformation that we have done of our company. Going back to 2012, we had four business units. We had about $1.6 billion of total long-term assets, of which $1 billion was invested in dry bulk, where we already had a strong platform, but we only owned about 25% of our fleet. And then we had these three other business units, ro-ro, towage, and terminals, and some other Chinese real estate. We have substantially sold out of all these three other business units because we were minor players. We did not have a strong position in these markets. We now believe that we have our money invested where it should be, where we do have an edge, where we do have a very strong position. We are the world's largest handysize owner and operator. We're now up to 40% of our fleet owned, and we're approaching 50% with the new buildings that are yet to deliver. Including the new buildings, we have about 2 billion of long-term assets now. And in spite of employing more assets, more capital overall, we have reduced our G&A significantly with about 20 million, and we are now on track to, we are at a recurring G&A level of roughly 57 million, which is 20 million down, also pretty much 20 million down compared to last year. So we're happy with the position of the company. Slide 15. Just to recap the dry bulk market situation, we do consider it to be a very uncertain market situation. Rates are very weak, but it does lead to reactions on the supply side. Scrapping, cancellations, etc., is causing the supply growth to slow. We are continuing to focus a lot on reducing our costs and on optimizing our laden percentage and thereby our premium to market rates. We are not taking more long-term positions because we can't make money on long-term charters. We are relying instead more on our growing owned fleet, and we complement that with short-term positions in and out where we can lock in a margin even in a weak market situation. And as I mentioned, primarily that's been happening on the Handymax side recently. We are managing our business for a continued weak market in the medium term, and we're focusing on safeguarding our positive EBITDA generation and our cash position. So we are now totally focused on our Handysize and Handymax. We continue to have a strong business model, which we're working hard to fine-tune and improve further. We're extremely happy with our fleet. We have never had a better fleet than we have now, a strong, large fleet of primarily Japanese-built ships, which are substitutable, which is extremely important. They're very fuel-efficient. We're very happy with our staff. We have a very efficient global office network. We think we're well-positioned as regards access to capital, and we consider ourselves well-positioned, albeit in a very tough market right now. With that, we would like to open up the call for questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the pound or hash key. There may be a short silence while we await for questions to queue up. Thank you. And our first question comes from the line of Paul Pewberry of Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thanks for the update, guys. Much appreciated. Obviously, a very difficult market, and we're starting to see increasing numbers of casualties in the sector, a couple of bankruptcies over the last few weeks. What's your interpretation of the impact that will have on the dry bulk markets? Will we see any impact on rates or vessel valuations over the rest of the year as weaker companies start to fall by the wayside?
We're already at all-time lows, both as regards rates and values. It's very hard to say. We have been seeing companies fail also earlier in the year. It's worth pointing out that we do not have any exposure to Daiichi, which is the company you may be thinking about in particular, but we have been seeing companies fail throughout the year. It leads to more pools being created, etc., and consolidation is good, but the sentiment is very weak now, and again, the benefit with that is that it's causing discipline on the supply side. So I don't think that the recent events will have any major change on the market. Andrew, you want to add something?
I think perhaps on the banking side or the lending side overall, when you see more bankruptcies, particularly higher profile cases, tends to reduce the appetite for lending, and a bit of capital constraint for the industry isn't necessarily a bad thing.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Our next question comes from the line of Timothy Ross from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
It's Andrew. Good evening. Thanks very much for your time. Just a couple of very quick ones with regards to particularly China minor bulk appetite. Do you expect to see any change in the grain trade stemming from recent adjustments to the corn subsidy in China? I believe that this has been lowered and makes it easier to source cheaper corn onshore rather than import.
I don't think so. We don't believe that China has the land and water to grow enough crop themselves. We are just at the start of the North American grain season. It's primarily soybeans that China takes a lot, and it's just started. But again, the market is especially uncertain now, right, because the South American grain season was larger than normal. We saw all-time high imports to China from South America, which drove up rates in the third quarter a bit unexpectedly. So the market is a bit torn, right? Some people think that because of the South American grain season and the imports to China was so big, maybe they stocked up a bit, and the North American grain imports now during the fourth quarter will be lower as a result. So again, very, very difficult to say, but we do think that is a very positive demand future on grain, and that will continue going forward. We do not think it will have a substantial effect with the corn regulations.
And again, sort of sticking with some of those more commodity angles, the current El Nino that we're experiencing around the region, do you anticipate that as having a feed-through into your volumes?
Weather is hard to forecast. We don't see that having any major significant effect, at least not in the medium term that we can see. Andrew, you have anything?
I mean, Southeast Asia is likely to be drier, but it's not. That shouldn't really be an issue. Maybe it'll have an impact on Australian agricultural production, but as Matt says, these are things that are pretty hard to predict. Within the long-term cyclical trend, I think the important thing to note is the expected increased demand or continued increased demand for agricultural commodities out of China. Perhaps one tangential thing will be the amount of water in the reservoirs used to generate hydroelectricity in China, and whether lower water may potentially result in the need for more coal in China, but that doesn't necessarily translate to seaborne coal, of course.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Yang Liu from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Good morning, guys. Thank you for taking my questions. Just one follow-up one regarding Daiichi bankruptcy. Do you see or hear any potential impact in the near-term supply because of the incident?
I think it's to a large degree, Japan Inc. And Japan Inc. Has a tendency to work things out. We don't see any immediate dramatic actions. Ships will likely be redelivered from Daiichi to their owners, and we may see new players getting, who's not used to being in the spot market, having ships to employ, which again may lead to again growth of pools, etc. But I think this will take time to play out, and it often has in Japan a tendency to work its way out. You know, many of the ships that Daiichi have shorted in, they have shorted in from Japanese owners, right? So they often work it out, and there may be new and lower rates agreed, etc. It's hard to say. We do not see an immediate impact on the supply side. We will obviously look for opportunities. Again, you know, our base case guidance is that we are continuing to manage for a weak market in the medium term and not taking long positions, but we are saying that we will study carefully any significant opportunities that may materialize as a result of the weak market.
Great, thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Our next question comes from the line of Parash Jain from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Thanks, everyone. And I have two questions. First, with respect to cascading impact of Panamax vessels, if some of them have been deployed through the Panama Canal, looking at the current order book coincide with a lower bunker fuel, how do you see the impact on the net supply going into end of 2015 or 2016 for that matter? Would at current rate encourage shipping lines to speed it up, or have you seen any signs of that speeding up, especially after a recent downward trend on the bunker fuel in third quarter? And my second question would be, how do you see a possible merger of bulk carrier in China on the ongoing SOE reform, and how would that impact some of the trade lines that you have exposure to? Thank you.
All right. I think your first question was on Panamax cascading effect the expansion of the Panama Canal. Well, again, it's not expanded yet. I think personally that the expanded canal will have limited impact on it is definitely geared towards the container traffic. The new locks is only a one-way canal system. The existing two-way locks will remain. And I think dry bulk ships will continue to go through the existing locks, and the new locks are optimized for the big container ships. They will pay the most for these slots. It will have some impact, but not significant, and definitely not on our trades. The second question on the lower fuel prices, and is that leading to ships speeding up? Certainly not in our segments at these rate levels. We are still slow steaming, and everybody should do the same if they can. We saw some rates increasing in the Capesize segment, which probably led to some speeding up, and the low bunker prices are negative as regards the supply-demand balance, since lower bunker prices leads to a reduction of the freight rate level at which ships will speed up. So it puts a little bit of a limit on how rates can go. But rates can go a lot higher than they are today before it makes sense to speed up.
Yes.
Your last question was on Costco, right?
Yeah.
And if that will lead to
on the bulker side, whether there will be any impact from that?
I don't think so. Again, in our segments, we have very few Chinese competitors in Handysize and Handymax. The Chinese owners, including Costco, are focused on the larger vessel segments, Capesize and Panamaxes. And these companies merging, I do not think will have a major impact. You know, they're primarily doing their own cargoes, etc. And these transactions or mergers we see having very little impact on Handysize and Handymax and our situation and our company. Again, consolidation in general is positive. It's good that more ships are controlled by large and well-informed entities, but the bulk market is still very diversified, and that is definitely the case on Handysize and Handymax, and will continue to be so.
Perfect. Just a follow-up on, I mean, given the sharp fall that we have seen in coal import, I presume a lot of those Panamax have been deployed in that moving that cargo, bringing into China. What do you see, especially on the smaller size Panamax? Do you see that they will invariably put pressure on Handymax, and as a result, a segment that you have exposure to?
Well, there is obviously a little bit of overlap and cannibalization between the various segments, but it's limited between Panamax and Handymax and Handysize, because the lower vessel segments have cranes and they don't rely on shoreside facilities to load and discharge, and they can go to places which the Panamax ships cannot. But, you know, it would be incorrect to say that it has no impact, right? So, you know, the low Panamax rates do have a limiting effect on the upside on Supramaxes, and have had so in the past. You've seen some life in the Panamax market recently, right, which helped the Supramax rates to go up in the third quarter as well. But the overlap is limited due to the draft and due to the cargo size and due to the commodities that we carry. But coal is one, is primarily grain that overlaps between Panamax and Supramax.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Right, thank you. There are no further questions. I'll hand the call back to Mr. Berglund.
All right. Thank you very much again for taking interest in our company and for calling in. And please feel free to revert to us if you have further questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.